It's good to see everyone. How many has been enjoying that? Not only the teaching, but just our Saturdays, our Shabbat. Getting back to the purity of Scripture. Doing what He requires, what He asks. And we see that's what Yeshua did throughout His whole ministry. His desire was to do the will of the Father. And you know, when we get back to doing His will, you know, people, they persecute you. That's what it is, you know. They criticize, they call you names, they think you're crazy. But I read in Scripture that the name He calls us trumps all whatever they say. He calls us His set apart ones. So if He's going to call me His set apart one, I can care less if they think I'm a heretic, if they think I'm crazy. I'm going with what He says. Y'all my set apart ones. And that's encouraging to me, because who He's coming back for, His set apart ones. So that's what matters the most to me. So we're going to go ahead and get started in our teaching. And we are on Yeshua heals on the Sabbath, continued to heal on the Sabbath. That's all He did, was just healed. And they didn't like that. Not that He was breaking the commandments, because He wasn't breaking the Sabbath commandments. He was breaking their commandments, and they didn't like that. They was just setting up, they added to laws and laws. Why? Because they wanted to rule the people. That's why they kept adding to the commandments. So it says, Yeshua heals a man on the Sabbath, Luke 14:1-6. And it came to be as He went into a house. Notice, He went to someone's house. Of one of the rules of the Pharisees to eat bread on the Sabbath. All his healings was done in the synagogue, in the set apart place. But this time He's in a house of a Pharisee, a ruler. So this is a well-known, important Pharisee. And in order for you to go to someone's house, you have to be invited. Why would they invite this guy? Huh? Why would y'all invite him? You're trying to kill him. But yet you're going to, if I'm trying to kill him, I'm not going to invite the man to my house. Well, I don't know. I guess that's a good plot. Let's get him in here and we can take care of him right up in his house. But Yeshua wasn't afraid. He was led by the Spirit. When you're led by the Spirit, there's nothing they can do. To eat bread on the Sabbath. Then they making him nice bread. They cooking him hot bread and butter. That they were watching him closely. Through his everything he did, they watched him closely. I'm in your house. How closely are you going to watch me? I'm sitting right in front of you. I mean, it's not like, I don't think they had mansions back then. I'm in your house. So you're still watching me closely. But he didn't care. And see, there was a certain man before him suffering with dropsy, swelling of the legs, ankles, and he couldn't stand up. And Yeshua responding spoke to those learned in the Torah and the Pharisees, saying, is it right to heal on the Sabbath? But they were silent. He asked them a couple times. I mean, you see every encounter, he asked them that question. Is it right to heal on the Sabbath? So taking hold of him, he healed him and let him go. Notice he had to pick him up. He had to take hold of him. And to them, he said, which of you having a donkey or an ox has fallen into a pit, shall not immediately pull him out on the Sabbath day? And they were unable to answer him regarding these matters. The same question he asked him again. He asked this before. Knowing that what he's trying to tell him is, y'all can pick up an ox, but I can't pick up a man and heal him. But y'all can take an ox. That's, nothing's wrong with him. He's just in the pit. He's not dying. He's not hurt. He's just there. But it's okay for y'all to pick your animal up out of a pit, but I can't pick this man up and heal him. And they were unable to answer him regarding these matters. The next mention of the Sabbath during Messiah's ministry follows in Luke 14 rather than in the synagogue. This incident took place in the home of a prominent Pharisee, an important Pharisee, where Yeshua had gone to share a meal on the Sabbath. A man with a chronic health problem came before him. Yeshua pointedly, he made it his direct, it was no beating around the bush. He pointedly asked the lawyers and the Pharisees, "Is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath?" Knowing they knew the Torah, they knew it didn't say that, but according to their rules, their regulations, no one can answer him. Because notice he didn't ask them according to your rules. No, according to the Torah, according to the law, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath? None answer. Yeshua healed the man who promptly left the uneasy atmosphere. It was no hesitation. He was getting out of there. He knew what Yeshua did according to their rules. This setting is not good. So look, he healed me. I can walk now. I'm gone. Let Yeshua deal with them. And he did. Yeshua didn't have no problem dealing with those people. None. What he? I think he enjoyed it. He enjoyed it. This uneasy atmosphere of the gathering. Whose ox or ass of yours shall fall into a pit, and he shall not at once pull it up on the Sabbath day, Yeshua asked. They wouldn't answer him. Questions such as these have been debated among the Jewish religious teachers for years, and even they recognized that the command to rest didn't include emergency situations in which life and limb were at stake. Notice for years they debated that. Because every year when a new generation would rise up, they would add more laws. They would add more laws. In which life and limb were at stake. Yeshua's approach was that whenever an opportunity to relieve suffering presents itself, that opportunity should be taken. Yahweh's Sabbath command was never intended to prohibit doing good on that day. Yeshua well knew the heart and core of Yahweh's law. Leviticus 19 and 18. He knew the heart and core. Do not take vengeance or bear a grudge against the children of your people, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am Yah. Both James and Paul understood that love was the intent and fulfillment of Yahweh's law. They both understood that. Remember, because he said, when they was asking him, what's the greatest commandment? He said, on all of them, hang these. These two, love thy neighbor as thyself. If you truly, truly accomplish the sovereign law according to the scripture, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. If you truly want to fulfill the law, if you truly want to hold it, and magnify it according to the scripture, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Galatians 5:14. That's the one we need to read. So if you want to turn, it's not Galatians 5:4. That was just the wrong one. I passed the text last night and said, "Oh, I'm sorry, I put the wrong scripture in there." I said, "I seen it. It's okay. No problem." So it's Galatians 5:14. And it says, for the entire Torah is complete in one word. Think about that. The entire Torah is complete in one word. In this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Think about that. Love your neighbor as yourself. So what does that mean? Don't talk. You love yourself. Would you hurt yourself? Would you talk about yourself? Would you go around telling somebody bad things about your own self? No, nobody talks bad about themselves. You know, you talk good about yourself. You love yourself. You're not going to hurt yourself. That's what he's saying. Love your neighbor as yourself. Yeshua's example showed that every day, not just some days, not just the day that you feel good or your want to is right that day. No, every day is to be lived in the spirit and purpose of Yahweh's law, which is to love. And that's what Yeshua did. He came to be an example, to show us that every day you live, you love. Yeshua heals an invalid on the Sabbath, John 5:1-18. And there was a festival of the Yehudim, the Jews, and Yeshua went to Jerusalem. And in Jerusalem, at the sheep gate, there is a pool, which is called in Hebrew Bethzeda, having five porches. In these were lying a great number of those who were sick, blind, crippled, paralyzed, waiting for the stirring of the water. For a messenger was going down at a certain time into the pool and was stirring the water. Whoever stepped in first then, after the stirring of the water, became well of whatever disease he had. And a certain man was there who had a sickness for 38 years. Can you imagine? 38 years suffering with something. When Yeshua saw him lying there, and knowing that he had already had been a long time, he said to him, "Do you wish to become well?" The sick man answered him, "Master, I have no man to put me into the pool when the water is stirred. But while I am coming, another steps down before me." Yeshua said to him, notice, he didn't touch him. He just said, "Rise, take up your bed and walk." Now, he had to do something. He had to believe. He had to have faith. And he had to trust the word, what Yeshua just said. Because he didn't say, it don't say Yeshua went down and picked him up and touched him. He said, "Rise, take up your bed and walk." And, you know, I think sometimes in our life, we're always looking for someone to come touch, come pray on us. How about we have the faith that this guy has had and just listen? And Yeshua said, "Rise, take up your bed and walk." Immediately. It wasn't no hours, not a minute, not a second. Immediately the man became well and he took up his bed and was walking. Now, it was on the Sabbath. It was Sabbath on that day. And watch how there's so much of their added rules and regulations that they was putting on the people. They were so angry. They didn't care that he healed them on the Sabbath. They didn't forget about that. You worked, you picked up your bed. That was one of the laws and rules there. You couldn't do that, you know. Your house gets on fire, you have to put all your clothes on. Women can't look in the mirror because they got a gray hair, pull it out. They just broke the Sabbath. So they was furious because he rolled up his bed. Now, just think, I'm thinking of his mat, his bed. It said, "Take up your bed." I'm pretty sure it was just a little mat, like a little yoga mat. I don't think they had, what's the name of a good mattress that we sleep on? It wasn't no full size or no king mattress that he tried to roll up. That's work rolling that up. I mean, you're just talking about a mat. He answered them, "He who made me well said to me, 'Take up your bed and walk.' Therefore, they asked him, 'Who is the man who said to you, take up your bed and walk?' But the one who was healed did not know who it was, for Yeshua had moved away, a crowd being in that place. Afterward, Yeshua found him in the set-apart place." I think he went find him for a reason. He wanted him to know. "See, you have been made well. Sin no more, so that no worse matter befalls you." The man went away straight to them. Straight to the Yehudim, straight to the Jews. Why didn't you go home? No, he went straight to them and told them that it was Yeshua who made him well. And because of this, the Yehudim persecuted Yeshua. Meaning they started saying things about him. They started calling him names. They started talking about him. They persecuting him and were seeking to kill him because he was doing these healings on the Sabbath. But Yeshua answered them, "My Father works until now, and I work." Because of this, then the Yehudim were seeking all the more to kill him. Because not only was he breaking the Sabbath, but he also called Elohim his own father, making himself equal with Elohim. Just because he said that's my father and my father works on the Sabbath and I should work, they said, so he's making himself equal. I have a son. There's no different than him saying, well, when he decides to go to work, that, you know, I'm working because my dad's working, you know, which will be soon, probably, hopefully. But that don't make him equal. He's not saying he's equal with me. He just said, if my dad's working, then I got to work. My dad showed me that I should work, that if he's going to work, then I should work. He's not saying we're equal. Not as times, boys, young men, 18-year-old when they get that age, they want to think you're equal to their dad, you know. But then you just got to, you got to hit them with scripture. You teach them scripture. I'm your alpha and your omega. I'm your beginning. I'm going to be your end. Huh? You just got to remind them. Girls, you ain't got to remind. Girls don't do that. Girls don't think they equal. Young men sometimes think they equal. That was a time in my life when I was naive and I thought I was equal to my dad. But my dad didn't know scripture. He knew hand and fist and he knew karate. That's what he knew. He'd throw something at you. But that don't mean we're equal. John 5 records a Sabbath healing not mentioned in the other gospels, thereby adding another dimension. See, he took it to another level. To Messiah's activities on the Sabbath. In this instant, Yeshua healed a man who had been an invalid for 38 years. Wow. 38 years. Can you imagine how that man must have felt after being hurting and suffering for 38 years? Get up, pick up your mat, and walk, Yeshua told the man in verse 8. The man was instantly healed, took up the mat on which he had lain, and walked away, only to be confronted by other Jews for carrying his mat. Confronted by other Jews for carrying his mat. It is the Sabbath. The law forbids you to carry your mat. They warn him in verse 10. The man who made me well said to me, pick up your mat and walk. He replied. After determining that it was Yeshua who had performed the healing and told the man to carry his mat, they persecuted Yeshua and lusted to kill him because he did these things on a Sabbath. Their view of the Sabbath was so distorted that they focused more on their own petty rules about what could not be carried on a Sabbath than on the wonderful healing of a man's 38-year affliction. It was their petty rules that he couldn't pick up his mat. Yeshua's response to their accusation of breaking the Sabbath angered his accusers even more. My father works until now, and I work, he said. Because of this, therefore, the Jews lusted the more to kill him, for not only did he break the Sabbath, but also called Yahweh his own father, making himself equal to Elohim. When in verse 17 and 18, what he broke was not Elohim's Sabbath command, but the Pharisees. And little history right here, I'll give you this little nugget. It says the Pharisees believed in two Torahs, the written and the oral. The oral was theirs. The Pharisees saw the oral Torah just as authoritative. Authoritative is to be trusted as being accurate or true. So they took their rules and regulations as just as authoritative as the written Torah. As the written Torah and in rabbinical Judaism, what the rabbis say is considered more authoritative than what is written in scripture. Think about that's how they got so far from knowing what he couldn't do and what he should have done on the Sabbath because of their oral Torah, their written rules. Messiah Yeshua could not have broken the Sabbath because he had earlier pronounced a curse on anyone who would have. Mark 5:19. Whoever. Is he included in this whoever? Is Paul included in this whoever? Absolutely. Whoever then breaks one of the least of these commands and teaches men so, shall be called least in the reign of the heavens. But whoever does and teaches them, he shall be called great in the reign of the heavens. So there's going to be some least in the kingdom, and there's going to be some great. Now, the according to scripture, the great are going to be the ones who well-versed in the scripture, who kept the Torah. There's going to be some in the kingdom that probably didn't have the chance to hear the Torah. So apparently they're going to be least. So what, the ones that well taught in Torah, we're going to be teaching the ones that's not well, that's the least ones. We're going to have responsibilities in the kingdom. So that's, to me, that's what I'm understanding. The least is going to be those who haven't had the opportunity yet to hear the Torah or to study the Torah. So it's going to be our responsibility as the great ones. Not that, you know, we're better than anybody. That's not what this is saying. But we're getting back to what his laws and what he's asking us to do. Matthew 5:19. But what did Messiah mean when he said, "My Father works until now and I work"? I love this statement of the application by the Life Application Bible commenting. I love this comment on this verse. Says, if God stopped, think about that. If God stopped every kind of work on the Sabbath, nature would fall into chaos and sin would overrun the world. Think about that. Chaos and sin would overrun the world if God stopped every kind of work. Genesis 2:2. And in the seventh day, Elohim completed his work, which he had done. And he rested on the seventh day from all his work, which he had made. But this can't mean that he stopped doing good. Jesus wanted to teach that when the opportunity to do good presents itself, it should not be ignored, even on the Sabbath. Yahweh made the Sabbath as a day of rest for mankind, not for himself. Remember, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. He rested from his work of forming the world on the seventh day to show us that we should also rest from our normal work. But Yahweh continues some work without ceasing, night and day, 7 days a week. He works to bring mankind into his kingdom. Listen, we can rest easy at night knowing that he's working on our behalf. I don't even want to think about that. You know, I can go to bed and just be, oh, so relaxed knowing that he's on the throne working. 7 days a week, night and day, he works to bring mankind into his kingdom. Think if he stopped, that he took a break from bringing mankind. Because, you know, that was a time in my life that it was a night or evening or a day that I was so glad that he was working to bring me back to where I'm at today. So thankful. I don't never, ever want to forget that he worked 7 days a week, night and day, working on this man right here. You got to get it, son. Hand of protection upon me when I didn't deserve his hand of protection upon my life. When I was being so rebellious. But he was working. Hallelujah. He works to bring mankind into his kingdom. He works to help people grow spiritually on the Sabbath. He works constantly to build a close relation, personal, not just a relationship. You got relationship, then you got personal relationships with his people. According to the gospel accounts, Yeshua healed more people on the Sabbath than any other day. He taught and preached on the Sabbath. Was he sinning? No. His activities were part of Yahweh's work of helping people understand and ultimately enter the kingdom of Yahweh and were therefore perfectly acceptable to him. The Father accepted it perfectly. Circumcision on the Sabbath, John 7:21-24. Yeshua answered and said to them, I did one work, and you all marvel. Because of this, Moshe has given you the circumcision, though it is not from Moshe, Moses, but from the fathers. And you circumcise a man on the Sabbath. If a man receives circumcision on the Sabbath so that the Torah of Moshe should not be broken, are you wroth with me because I made a man entirely well on the Sabbath? So you can circumcise. You can put a man in some pain, but I can't heal a man. You're wroth with me because of that. Do not judge according to appearance, but judge with righteous judgment. And that's what Yeshua did. He judged with righteous judgment. He didn't judge according to appearance. He didn't judge according to what the circumstances was or what a person looked like. He judged according to righteous judgment. In John 7:24, Yeshua summed up what should have been obvious to those who criticized him for healing on the Sabbath. Do not judge according to sight, but judge righteous judgment. The Pharisees' narrow, intolerant view focused more on outward appearance than anything else. And that's why he told them in that, I can't remember where it was at, but he said, you're like whitewashed tombs. You know, they did that, the whitewashed tombs, when they would travel. You know, they had dead bones in there, so the people from Israel would come and they would clean that outside real, real, real good. Because if they went in there as they was traveling, they would go in there to get out the heat or the rain or whatever as they was traveling to Jerusalem. And if they come in contact, they would be unclean because there would be dead man's bones in there. You couldn't touch that. So that's that reference he made to them. Y'all like those whitewashed tombs. You're dead in the inside. Look all pretty on the outside, but y'all weren't about the outward appearance. It's the inside what me and my father's worried about. Yeshua upbraided them for their emphasis on physical things while neglecting more important matters such as justice, mercy, and faith. Matthew 23:23. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites. Hypocrites, loving your tradition more than what you're loving the word. That's what he's telling them. Y'all loving your traditions more than what you're loving the word. Because you tied the mint and the anas in the coming and have neglected the weightier matters of the Torah, the right ruling and the compassion and the belief. These need to have been done without neglecting the others. You're neglecting the more. You don't have no compassion for a human being's life. No compassion. To illustrate the extremes to which the Pharisees took their views, Yeshua used the example of circumcision. He pointed out that circumcision, a sign of the covenant between Yahweh and the nation of Israel, should be performed on the Sabbath without breaking it. And if this alteration of one of the 248 parts, by the Jewish calculation, of the body could be done on the Sabbath, he argued in John 7:22-23, because of this, Moshe has given you the circumcision, though it is not from Moshe, but from the fathers. And you circumcise a man on the Sabbath. If a man receives circumcision on the Sabbath so that the Torah of Moshe should not be broken, are you wroth with me because I made a man entirely well on the Sabbath? The inconsistency of allowing the ritual of circumcision while outlawing mercy to those who needed healing was to callously disregard the intent of Yahweh's law. Stop judging by mere appearances and make a right judgment. He warned his detractors in verse 24. Rather than upholding Yahweh's law by their added rules and regulations, their distorted view of Elohim's commands led them to actually break the law according to Yeshua. So by all their added rules and their regulations, it caused them to break the written Torah. Matthew 23:3. These couple of verses wasn't put in, but we'll read it right quick. Matthew 23:3. It says, therefore, whatever they say to you to guard, guard and do. But do not do according to their works, for they say and do not do. What he's telling them is that whenever, because they would sit on the seat of Moses and they would teach. Do what the written Torah is saying to do, but don't do according to their works. For they say and do not do. Guard and do what the written Torah is telling you. I'm telling you to guard and do that, but don't do according to their works. In 23, verse 28, it says, so you too, outwardly indeed appear righteous to men, but inside you are filled with hypocrisy and lawlessness. Mark 7, 6 through 9. And he answering said to them, well, did Yeshayahu prophesy, Isaiah prophesy concerning you hypocrites, as it has been written, these people respect me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. I was thinking about that when we were singing that song. You know, I want to examine my life. Because I don't want to make sure I'm doing this. You know, because we can sing and it's just words coming out of our mouth. But where is my heart at in this song? Is my heart, everything that song we was just singing said, is it really, do I really mean that? That's what he's telling. These people respect me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. They talk the Torah, they say it, but they're not doing it. They're not living it. And in vain, think about that, do they worship me? So yeah, you want to examine yourself and make sure you're not worshiping him, sitting here singing this song, worshiping him in vain. Teaching as teachings the commandments of men. Not one of you keeps the law, he told them in John 7, 19. Reproving them for their twisted interpretation of Yahweh's law, they were not keeping the law correctly. And Yeshua restored its proper understanding and practice. He restored that proper understanding and practice of what can and cannot be done on a Sabbath. Yeshua heals a blind man on the Sabbath, John 9, 1 through 34. And passing by, he saw a man blind from birth. And his taught ones, his disciples, asked him, saying, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, and that he should be born blind? Yeshua would answer, neither this man nor his parents sin, but that the works of Elohim might be made manifest in him. Nobody sinned. He's blind because the Father wanted him blind for this particular day. So I can show y'all that I'm the Messiah and that my Father is working and I'm going to work. Yeshua answered, neither this man nor his parents sinned, but the works of Elohim might be made manifest in him. It is necessary for me to work the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one is able to work. While I am in the world, I am the light of the world. While I am in the world, I am the light. How is he being the light? By keeping the Torah, keeping the commandments. Having said this, he spat on the ground and made clay with the saliva. Notice, breaking another one of their rules. You couldn't spit on the ground, and according to them, because that was toiling. That was work. You're disturbing the earth. So not only did he spit, he knelt down, and he started making it right there, making that clay. Knowing they was watching him, showing them. I'm going to break every rule that y'all got. I'm abolishing some rules. It ain't my Father's. I'm abolishing y'all's. He didn't care. Yeshua didn't care. He spat on the ground and made clay with the saliva. and applied the clay to the eyes of the blind man. And he said to him, go wash in the pool of Shiloh, which means sent. So he went and washed and came seeing. Therefore, the neighbors and those who saw him before that he was blind said, is not this he who is sitting and begging? Others said, this is he. Others said, he is like him. I think that's him. It looks like him. That can't be him. Nah, he was just begging. He was just blind. There's no way possible. Others said, man, I'm telling you, that's him. He said, I am. So they said to him, how were your eyes opened? He answered and said, a man called Yeshua made clay and applied it to my eyes and said to me, go to the pool of Shiloh and wash. And I went and washed and I received sight. Notice this man didn't, he knew who it was. He didn't say, I don't know. And there wasn't no going back to find him. Yeshua healed me. And they said to him, where is he? He said, I do not know. They brought to the Pharisees the one who was once blind. Come on, we got to go. We got to go see. You got to come explain yourself. Come on to these taught ones, the Pharisees, the learned one in the Torah. Now, it was a Sabbath when Yeshua made the clay and opened his eyes. Therefore, the Pharisees also asked him again how he had received his sight. He said to them, he put clay on my eyes and I washed and I see. Again, I'm telling y'all. Again, tell me one more time how he did it. He put clay on my eyes. I'm telling y'all. Therefore, some of the Pharisees said, this man is not from Elohim because he does not guard the Sabbath. Others say, how is a man who is a sinner able to do such miracles? You think his thinking was so squirrely. How can a sinner do such miracles? And there was a division among them. So they said to the blind one again, what do you say about him because he opened your eyes? And he said, he answered them perfectly. He's a prophet. He is a prophet. However, the Yehudim, the Jews, did not believe concerning him. Imagine that. Then told him three times how it happened, but you still don't believe. It's like some believers today. You can show them three, four times in the scripture and they still don't believe. You can show them in the scripture. Oh, we don't believe that. Oh, you got to be kidding me. I mean, I feel like the blind man right here. I'm trying to tell y'all. It's right here in the scripture. We don't believe. All right. You know why? Because you take a book and you only want to study this part of the book. So when we go to talking about it and I start telling you, you know, things that happened in the beginning, that's when you make things up because you don't know. So you start adding things. Because the only part you want to study is this part instead of studying the whole book. So you start making things up. However, let's see. So they said to the blind one again, what do you say about him because he opened your eyes? And he said he's a prophet. However, the Yehudim did not believe concerning him that he had been blind and received his sight. They thought he was lying. All this time, you were just faking it. You lie, you're a faker. Till they called his parents. All right, so let's go get mom and dad. Who had called his parents of him who had received his sight. And they asked them, saying, is this your son who you say was born blind? Now they turning their directions to the parents. Now y'all said this son of man was born blind. How then does he now see? His parents answered them and said, we know this is our son and that he was born blind. But how he now sees, we do not know. Or who opened his eyes, we do not know. Listen, these parents were scared because they knew there was consequences. So right away, he's of age. He's an adult. You know, hey, you. When you ask him. It's kind of like what we do nowadays, too. You know, when your child's doing something they shouldn't do and they're of age and cops get involved, ask him. He's a man. He's 21. He's legal. Ask him. Let him say it. He is of age. Ask him. He shall speak concerning himself. His parents said this because they were afraid of the Yehudim. They was afraid of the Jews. For the Yehudim had already agreed that if anyone confessed that he was Messiah, he should be put out of the congregation. So look, they was more worried about numbers, the parents. They didn't want to get put out of this congregation. I don't want to get put out of this circle, because that circle over there looks lonely. That circle over there, you get name calls. We don't want to be part of that circle. We want to be the majority. We don't want to be the minority. So the parents, they was afraid. Because of this, his parents said, he is of age, ask him. Again, they said that. So for the second time, they called the man who was blind. Again. Can you imagine being that man? I would have been so aggravated. Not again. Y'all not asking me again. Give esteem to Elohim. Give glory to Elohim. We know that this man is a sinner. Talking about Yeshua. Then he answered and said, whether he is a sinner, I do not know. I only know that I was blind and now I see. I don't know if he's a sinner. Y'all make that judging. Y'all judge. I'm judging righteous. I'm saying I don't know if he's a sinner, but I know I was blind and now I see. So whether he's a sinner or not, I don't know. But he answers them well when we get down to the bottom. I love the bottom. And they asked him once more, what did he do to you? Oh, he was probably just laughing. Man, y'all serious right now? How did he open your eyes? He probably hit him with the Jackie Chan. You don't understand the word that are coming out of my mouth. I'm telling y'all. He answered them, I have told you already and you did not hear. Why do you wish to hear it again? Do you wish to become his taught ones too? Oh, boy. Boy, they didn't want to hear that. This is like the fourth time I'm telling you. What, y'all want to become his taught ones? Oh, then they abused him for saying that. They abused him and said, you are his taught one. But we are taught ones of Moshe. We got Moses. We got Moses. We don't need Yeshua. We don't need to believe in him and that and what he's doing. We know that Elohim has spoken to Moshe, but this one, we do not know where he is from. We don't know where he's from. We know where Moshe is from. But this one is claiming to be something that we don't, and we're not agreeing with. First of all, he's a carpenter's son. That's what we know he is, the carpenter's son. The man answered and said to them, why? This is a wonder. You do not know where he is from, yet he opened my eyes. And we know that Elohim does not hear sinners. Listen to that. We know that Elohim does not hear sinners. Be careful who you asking to pray. You know, because they quick to throw some praying hands for you up on Facebook. Be careful. He don't hear them. Don't tell them that. Call. You better you tell them that, boy. You're judging and all kind of, they throw all kind of words at you. But that's what the scripture says. I'm just saying what he said in John 9:31. And we know that Elohim does not hear sinners. But if anyone fears Elohim and does his desire, he hears him. That's exciting to me. We're doing his desire. He hears us. From of old, it has never been heard that anyone opened the eyes of one who was born blind. So what is he telling them? In the Torah, in the scriptures, you never heard of that. You never heard of someone being blind and the eyes open. If this one were not from Elohim, he could have done none at all. I'm telling y'all, he couldn't have done it. They answered and said to him, you were completely born in sins and you are teaching us? Well, yeah, you asked me five times. I've been teaching y'all for the last hour. If y'all keep asking me. And they cast him out. They cast him out. Think about that. And that's why the parents were so scared, because they didn't want to be cast out, but he didn't care. He said, y'all keep asking, I'm going to keep telling y'all. He healed me. Yeshua used the incident of healing a blind man on the Sabbath to twice proclaim his Messiahship. Speaking to his disciples, he said, it is necessary for me to work the works of him who sent me while it is day. While I am in the world, I am the light of the world. John 9:4-5. He then healed the man of his blindness. The Pharisees caught up with the recently healed man, then interrogated and intimidated him. He didn't bend though. He didn't bend at all. His parents was intimidated. They didn't intimidate him. He didn't bend. He didn't give up. This man, Yeshua, is not from Elohim because he does not keep the Sabbath. They argued in verse 16. The man countered, for there is a marvel in this. He opened my eyes. If this one was not from Elohim, he could not do anything. Angered at having their authority questioned. Think it, don't question my authority. It was angered. And their opinions challenged, they threw him outside, excommunicating the man from the synagogue. He was condemned as a heretic and cut off from family and friends. And I want to stop right here and just share this little story, because last night I stopped right here. It was me and Belle was doing, lighting the menorah, and was going over reading this and read the scriptures. Isaac and Nikki wasn't home. They was at, Isaac had a soccer game. But early in the week, Nikki texted me, and it was a text from Bella. And she said, Mom, I need help. She said, because I'm feeling lonely. She said, you know, I know that we're different from, and I can't talk to certain friends. You know, they make jokes about Jesus, and not even a close family member of hers. She said, I can't talk to nobody. She said, I'm feeling lonely. And when Nikki sent me that scripture, you know, it disturbs you as a parent. Because you don't, you know, you think that, you know, your kids might get some kind of slack about what their beliefs are. And kids can be cruel and rude. And she said that they were just, that was at some little playing soccer or something, kickball or something with some other friends. And she said they was making jokes about Jesus, and she said, I felt angry, and, you know, just, she was just in a lonely spot. And I'm like, oh, when Nikki had sent me that, I was like, okay, I need to talk to her, but when do I talk to her? How do I talk to her? But, so last night, when I came to that, I stopped and paused, and me and her got to talking a little bit, and I said, you know why I stopped right here? And she's like, yeah. I said, okay, well, I said, you know, because Mom sent me the text or whatnot. But I want you to see that he says family and friends, you know. I said, you know, that's a good thing that you're feeling that way. You know, because if you didn't feel that way, then we should check ourselves. If we're not in a lonely spot for people from family and friends cutting us off or not wanting to be around us, I would check how we're living. You know, you know why? I said, you know, heretic and all those names, and people don't want to be around you because you're set apart. That's a good place, my baby, I told her. You stay in that place, even though it's lonely. She hit me with a statement, and it made me think. She said, but you and Mom gets invited to a lot of stuff. I said, well, yeah, we do. You know, a lot of, we have our circle that we hang with. And then she busts out laughing because I guess we don't talk that kind of talk to, I guess, circle. She just like, circle? Y'all got a circle? And I'm like, yeah, whatever. I said, but, you know, she had me thinking, you know, that I want to make people not want to invite just because it's us. You know, they should feel uncomfortable. You know, I want to feel that loneliness she's feeling sometimes. You know, I want to feel like an outcast. I want people we can't call Nick and Josh to come to this party because, you know, what they believe in. You know, I don't want them to call. And, we should be like, hey, did you get a phone call? No. You? No. Let us feel that loneliness. Because she had me thinking last night. You know, she said, you and Mom get invited to a lot of places. And I'm like, yeah, we do. Well, maybe me and Mom need to really search ourselves. Because if she's feeling that loneliness, I want to feel it. And I felt it when Nikki sent me that because that's my baby. That's my girl. You know, I don't want her to feel lonely in it, but that's a good place. That's the best way Daddy could explain it to you. That's a good place because you're living a life that the Father's asking you to live. And it's okay. You'll be okay. Because I said, that loneliness, when you're in that lonely spot, that's when you look to Him. That's when you want to spend more time with Him. So I got to spend a little time with her on that. But I wanted to stop and just share that because I thought about that as we came to this part. So he was condemned as a heretic and cut off from family and friends. Yeshua sought out the man. Do you believe in the Son of Elohim? Notice the question he asked him. Do you believe in Elohim? Yeshua asked, who is he, Master, that I may believe in him? The man replied, even you have seen him and he is speaking with you. Is that one? Messiah answered. The man then accepted Yeshua as the Son of Elohim. At this, Yeshua said in John 9:35-41, Yeshua heard that they had cast him out. Notice, I heard that they cast you out for me, for believing in me, for telling them he's a prophet. He healed me. Cast him out. And when he had found him, he said to him, do you believe in the Son of Elohim? He answered and said, who is he, Master, that I believe in him? And Yeshua said to him, you have both seen him, and he who speaks with you is he. And he said, Master, I believe, and bowed before him. And Yeshua said, for judgment I have come into this world, that those not seeing might see, and those seeing might become blind. And those of the Pharisees who were with him heard these words and said to him, are we blind too? And Yeshua said to them, if you were blind, you would have no sin. But now you say, we see, therefore your sin remains. Messiah Yeshua again made it clear that he was the Messiah, the very Son of Elohim. In this incident, he continued to teach as he did so many times on the Sabbath of his redemptive work for mankind. So many times he continued. He was not intimidated. He can care less. Did Yeshua change the law? These accounts summarize the specific activities of Messiah on the Sabbath recorded in the four Gospels. As stated earlier, some see only what they want to see in these verses. That don't mean that to me. You know, they see only what they want to see. They want to make it fit their life. Suppose proof that Messiah Yeshua broke the fourth commandment. However, as the scripture actually show, Yeshua did no such thing. He did ignore religious leaders, misguided, restricted regulations of the Sabbath. He did. But he never broke Yahweh's commandments. Had he done so, he would have sinned. He lived a sinless life so he could be our perfect sacrifice, the Savior of all mankind. You know, and I mentioned that last Sunday. If he would have sinned, he couldn't have been that Savior. Couldn't have been that perfect Lamb. He lived a sinless life so he could be our perfect sacrifice, the Savior of all mankind. 1 Peter 2:21-22. For this you were called, because Messiah also suffered for us. Think about that. For this you were called. because of his suffering, the price he paid, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps. Leaving us an example that you should follow his steps, who committed no sin, nor was deceit found in his mouth. Ephesians 5, 1 through 2. Become then imitators of Elohim as beloved children. You know, we want to teach our kids, or sometimes we see our kids, they want to imitate, you know, sports, actors. How about we teach them to be imitators of Elohim as beloved children? And walk in love as Messiah also has loved us and gave himself for us, a gift, an offering to Elohim for a sweet smelling fragrance. Walk in love as Messiah also has loved us and gave himself for us. 1 John 4:14-15. And we have seen and bear witness that the Father has sent the Son, Savior of the world. Whoever confesses that Yeshua is the Son of Elohim, notice, have to confess that Yeshua is the Son of Elohim. Elohim stays in him and he in Elohim. How you know if Elohim is in you? Confess that Yeshua is his Son. It would have been unthinkable for Yeshua to disobey Yahweh's commandments. He said of himself, John 5:19, therefore, Yeshua responded and said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, the Son is able to do none at all by himself, but only that which he sees the Father doing, because whatever he does, the Son also likewise does. He did everything his Father did and said to do. If his Father did it and doing it, he did it and was doing it. If his Father liked it, he liked it. If his Father loved it, he loved it. If his Father said it, he said it. He does, the Son also likewise does. What did Yeshua do? In his own words, he did exactly what the Father did. Yet some mistakenly think he came to overturn Yahweh's holy law and remove it as a standard of guidance and behavior for mankind. John 5:30. Of myself, I am unable to do any matter. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is righteous, because I do not seek my own desire, but the desire of the Father who sent me. That's the desire I want to seek. I want to seek the Father's desire for my life. I don't want to seek my own desire. When I did that, guess what? I found myself in trouble. In a world of trouble when you try to get out of his desire and you want to do your own desire. Like you know what's better for you than what he knows is better for you. Messiah Yeshua's motivation was to please the Father. What the Father wanted was most important to him. In John 4:34, Yeshua said to them, my food is to do the desire of him who sent me and to accomplish his work. That was his motivation, his reason for living, to do the will of Yahweh the Father. And that needs to be our reason for living. You want motivation? Do the desires of the Father. Through Messiah's teaching on the Sabbaths during his earthly ministry, he revealed Yahweh's will and determined to carry out his work in spite of the opposition and persecution. In spite of all the persecution and all everything he was up against, despite it all, that ultimately brought about his cruel torture and death, he determined to carry out that work no matter what he had to go through. No matter what people were saying, that's the mindset we need to have. No matter what people are saying about us, no matter what they think, we want to be determined to carry out his work, to teach men the Torah. Even unto death. You know, people's dying for the gospel. And we're so blessed. So blessed. We're not even nowhere near facing that. Not at all. Just think. People that, you know, guns pointed at them, crucified, all that, burning them at the stake. And yet we get a little intimidated when people wants to challenge us in scripture. Nowhere near torture or death. Messiah's, Yeshua's clear statement. Yeshua himself clearly denied that he intended to change or abolish the Sabbath or any part of Yahweh's law. Matthew 5:17. Do not think that I came to destroy the Torah or the prophets. I did not come to destroy, but to complete. He's saying, I came to demonstrate how to live it out in spirit and truth. That's what he's saying. I came to demonstrate to you how to live it out in spirit and truth. I did not come to destroy, but to complete it. The Greek word pleru, translated fulfill, means to make full, to fill up. And I like this one, to fill it to the full. I came to fill it to the full, or to render full. Online Bible, 1995, Thayer's Greek Lexicon, fulfill. In other words, Yeshua said he came to complete the law and make it perfect. How? By showing the spiritual intent and application of Yahweh's law. His meaning is clear from the remainder of the chapter, where it showed the spiritual intent of specific commandments. Some distort the meaning of fulfill to have Yeshua saying, I did not come to destroy the law, but to end it by filling it. So that's what they're thinking, that he didn't destroy it, but he fulfilled it when he came. When he died, that means no more Torah. We don't have to do it. It's over, done with. This is entirely inconsistent with his own words. They can't match it to Yeshua's words at all. Through the remainder of the chapter, he showed that the spiritual application of the law made it even more difficult to keep. Not that it was annulled or no longer necessary. Yeshua made it clear that he wasn't abolishing any of Yahweh's law. Matthew 5:18. For truly I say to you, till the heaven and the earth pass away. When we woke up this morning, you look up in the sky, heaven's still there, huh? We got out of bed, walked to our vehicles, we walked on earth. Everything's still there. For truly I say to you, till the heaven and the earth pass away, one yod or one tittle, the smallest letter in the Hebrew, the smallest little decorative that goes over the Hebrew letter, shall by no means pass from the Torah till all be done. There are still prophetic prophecies in the scripture that hasn't happened yet. And it's going to happen. That's what he's saying. We still got plenty, plenty of prophetic prophecies that haven't happened yet that will happen before it all be done. Here, a different Greek word is used for fulfill, genomia, meaning to become, to come into existence, or to come to pass, theirs. Only after everything necessary would not come to pass would any of Elohim's law pass from existence, said Messiah. To prevent any possible misunderstanding, he warned those who would try to abolish Yahweh's law. He warned them. Whoever, including me, he's letting them know. Me too, I'm no different. Even if I, what you think I came, he said, whoever then breaks one of the least of these commands and teaches men so shall be called least in the reign of the heavens. But whoever does and teaches them, he shall be called great in the reigns of heaven. I think Yeshua is called great. Huh? He lived it perfectly. He magnified it. He magnified it so much that he said it, you know. You have heard in the scripture that if you commit adultery, he said, but if I'm telling you, if you think about a woman, you commit adultery. If you think about killing your brother, you're breaking these commandments. He magnified, he took it to another level. Yeshua, by explaining, expanding, and exemplifying Yahweh's law, fulfilled a prophecy of the Messiah found in Isaiah 42:21. It has delighted Yahweh, Yah, for the sake of his righteousness, to make the Torah great in esteem. The Hebrew word gadol, translated magnify, literally means to be or become great. To be or become great. William Wilson's Old Testament word studies, magnify. Messiah Yeshua did exactly that, showing the true purpose and scope of Yahweh's Sabbath rest. And I think we're going to, no, we can read this one right here. This will be the last one. Following Yeshua's example, notice, following Yeshua's example, when asked, which is the first commandment of all? Messiah Yeshua answered, the first of all the commandments is Mark 12, 28 through 30. And one of the scribes coming near, hearing them reasoning together, knowing that he had answered them well, asked him. So he knew. You see how they thought they were slick. They thought they were just trying to find any little thing to make him break the law. But Yeshua's spirit-led, it couldn't happen. Hearing them reasoning together, knowing that he had answered them well, asked him, what is the first commandment of all? Yeshua answered him, the first of all the command is, Deuteronomy 6, 4, hear, O Israel, Yah our Elohim, Yah is one. And you shall love Yah your Elohim with all your heart, with all your being, and with all your mind, and with all your strength. And that's Deuteronomy 6, 5. This is the first commandment. You love him with everything that is in you. Here Yeshua restated the greatest commandment of the Old Testament, Deuteronomy 6, 4, and 5. Hear, O Israel, Yah Elohim, Yah is one. And you shall love Yah your Elohim with all your heart, with all your being, and with all your mind. Those who observe the biblical Sabbath strive to obey that commandment, putting Yahweh first in their lives and keeping his command to observe the Sabbath. That's what we're here today doing. Put him first in our lives. They will also follow Yahweh's instruction in John 14, 21. He who possesses my commands and guards them, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me shall be loved by my Father. And I shall love him and manifest myself to him. Notice, you possess his commandments and we guard them. That's the ones that love me. Messiah Yeshua is our Lord and Master. Philippians 2, 9 through 11. Elohim, therefore, was highly exalted, has highly exalted him. Notice, he couldn't have been highly exalted if he would have broke the commandments. Listen to what Philippians 2, 9 and 11 says. Elohim, therefore, has highly exalted him and given him the name which is above every name, that at the name of Yeshua, every knee shall bow of those in heaven and of those on earth and of those under the earth. And every tongue shall confess that Yeshua Messiah is Master to the esteem of Elohim the Father. Every knee is going to bow. There's going to be a day. It's coming. Every knee going to bow and every tongue is going to confess that he is the Messiah. He is the Master. He also proclaimed that he is, in Mark 2:28, the son of Adam is also master of the Sabbath. So we should follow his example in observing the Sabbath and all Yahweh's commandments in the way that he taught and lived. And we're going to stop right there because we still got a little few more to go. But